Ya Ali, ya Ali, Ali, Ali.
The God at his level. So, what happens over there at his level? At God's level, meaning at the level of the prophet, the prophet, he asks Allah a question. He says, Ya Rab, prophet speaking to Allah. He says, Ya Rab, Ayyul A'mal Afdal. What is the best of actions? Best of actions. Faqala Allah Ta'ala. Allah responds, right? So the prophet asking, private audience, Mi'raj, private audience, God and the prophet, he's asking, what's the best of actions? And God gives him a response. He says, Laysa shay' afdal 'indi min at-tawakkuli 'alayh. There is nothing better in with me than trusting me, tawakkul. Wa ridha bima qasam, and being pleased with that which I have decided or how I've divided things. Two things for the higher stages of iman, the higher levels of taqwa. It says two things are amongst the best things that you can do. One of them is to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one is to be pleased with God's decision. Right? God has given us certain things in life. How I look, where I was born. Right? Once I've made my efforts, many things happen. But to be pleased with God's decision. Right? He says these are two of the best things. Now, we've come to an end for our time now. So I'm not going to be able to do this subject justice. I'm not going to be able to do it justice. We'll have to continue a little bit with this at least tomorrow. I just want to mention a mistake that some people make when it comes to tawakkul. A mistake some people make when it comes to tawakkul. Some people don't understand the Islamic concept of tawakkul the right way. Some people don't think it's their responsibility, if I want to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to put every single thing at my disposal, apply that, and trust in God. There's a hadith that says that, إِنَّ نَبِيًّا مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَا مَرِضٍ. One of the anbiya became sick. This nabi was speaking to God. He said, لَا أَتَدَاوَى. Either he's talking to God or by himself he said these words. La atadawa, I'm not going to seek a cure, hatta yakuna alladhi amradani huwa yashfini, until the person who made me mariz and sick, that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cures me. So I'm not going to take any medicine. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to cure myself until the person who made me sick, they cure me. Then Allah responds to him, fa'awha Allah ilayhi. Allah gave wahi to this Nabi. He says, La ashfiq. I won't give you shafa. La ashfiq. Hatta tatadawa. I'm not going to give you any cure until you take medicine. You have to do what your responsibility is. Then he says a point. Fa inna shifa minni. Right? So I have to, if I want to do proper tawakkul, what am I supposed to do? One of the things I'm supposed to do is I use everything that's at my disposal. I'm sick. I go to the doctor. I exercise. I follow the instructions. Right? I do all of those things. Do I believe the cure is from the doctor? Huh? Or we say, Ashafa'u minni. Shafa is from God. So proper tawakkul, we haven't been able to, because we want to say now, how do we practically get to the stage of tawakkul? Inshallah, in another session. But to understand the concept of tawakkul, so we have this properly. I do everything that's at my disposal. I want to study for an exam, and I want to be a mutawakkil. I put everything in my effort, I trust in God. Right? I want to get married. I want to have a successful marriage. I do everything I can to have a successful marriage, I trust in God. We hope that Allah, inshallah, He will give us tawfiq to understand these teachings of Ahlul Bayt, and then after that, implement them. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil fadha. Allahumma Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil fadha.
first question, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, brothers and sisters, we'll try and keep it light. We won't, I hope I don't wear you out with the questions, but we'll see if I can answer a few of these questions. One question is this. It says that we are living in the information age. We're living in the information age. Internet, YouTube, websites, all kinds of articles, all kinds of videos, for instance, right? Information about Islam. How do we know the material is authentic? Because people are everybody is giving an opinion about Islam. And how do I know that the information is correct? How do I, you know, I want to take this, I want to act on this, I want to practice this. So one thing that we could do is this, that the same approach that we have in all other fields, in every other field, if I want to learn about medicine, where do I go? Either I go become a doctor, or if I don't become a doctor, I refer to someone who has been qualified, someone who's been taught, someone who's been trained, right? So I wouldn't go to just anybody, you know, there's a quack, you know, who has office. In America we say a quack, the fake doctors, right? He's got a nice shiny office, but I say, okay, where'd you study? That's not important. Come in here, Shifa Minni. We don't do that, right? So when it comes to religion also, I want to make sure that I go to somebody who studied. Now, does that mean I have to be disrespectful when somebody comes and they're lecturing on them? Where did you study, Sheikh? Tell me right now. Let me interrogate you. No, I do my research. This is a Sheikh. He's delivering or Sayyid or Maulana or whatever. What is the research? What are the qualifications? Where did the person study? Who were their teachers? And this stuff is all available. It's the information age. I go over and do research. So I treat everybody respectfully, but I look for proper information to make sure that the person is giving me correct information. The other thing is it forbidden for all of those who have not studied in the Hausa to speak? Because one problem that we do have is this, that sometimes we have almost like street corner sheikhs. Everybody comes, takes the minbar, and they will start giving lectures on Islam, right? The same, when it comes to every other field though, we don't say that you, just because you're qualified as a doctor, doesn't mean you're also a mechanic, doesn't mean you're also a plumber, doesn't mean you're also a physicist, right? But somehow in Islam, everybody, as soon as I get the mimbar, I can't even stop. I'm lecturing, I'm swimming. So, does it mean that it's forbidden to everyone else who hasn't been to the Hausa to speak about Islam? No, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that everyone must make sure their information is correct. No one can give their own opinion about Islam. If I'm not an expert, I have to make sure I give the opinion of experts. And I need to be real careful about that, making sure that I don't give my own opinion. So, in answer to the first question, the idea was, let's say either we study ourselves or we refer to experts. If I'm looking at something online, I either want to find out, well, who made this website? Right? There are websites that they've made for question and answers, that give question and answers. Who made these websites? How do I know the information is authentic? A person is a speaker, a very good speaker. Okay, where did the person study? How did they study? Or, if they haven't studied, then make sure that the information is in accordance to what experts say. So it's a little more challenging then, because I don't want to be following something. The same thing I would do in any other field. You wouldn't come to me for expert information on dental care, because I'm not a dentist. So the same way, somebody who's not an expert in Islam, you wouldn't go for them for that. Next question. We can put our trust in Allah and not sit back, of course. Well, to what extent was me act and then after that trust in God? Okay. Next question is this. Okay, I do want to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to do the right thing. I want to submit to Him. I want to be able to achieve those states that can happen once I do submit to God. When is it that I've done enough, right? That I've acted, because I know, we've heard that hadith of the Prophet, that this person comes to him, they say that I have a camel, for instance. Should I just leave the camel and trust in God, inshallah, the camel will be there? And the Prophet says, tie the camel and trust in God. Tie the camel and trust in God. So, the question could be something like this, that how do I know that I've done enough, that now I can say, now, I've done my part, now I relax and I trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the things that we do want to do, brothers and sisters, this is advice from the Holy Prophet. They said that once he was fixing like a grave, prophet was fixing, somebody had been buried, for instance, and the prophet's over there, he's arranging it. And there was one part of the grave that was left undone. Right? It wasn't done properly. So the prophet fixed that part of the grave. And he said that whatever the mu'min does, whatever the believer does, whatever we do, we should do well. Whatever we do, we should do well. So if I'm going to, whatever I want to do, let's say I'm in a marriage, right? I want to make sure that I do my efforts well, right? I want to go to my job, right? I want to trust in God. I want to go for a job interview. How can I say that I've done enough? Let me look at it reasonably from a third person point of view and make sure that I've done what I presented well, right? After that, though, so a normal kind of balance without compromising my other responsibilities, again, when it comes back to this idea of tawakkul, that I don't compromise my other duties, I don't go above and beyond what the Sharia says. Basically, maybe what I would do is say this, that I want to do it in a way that if a third person was looking, did this person do basically was at their disposal? Yes. After, and I tried to do it well. After that, I can relax and I can leave it in God's hands. Please comment. Atheists believe that they get shifa from doctors and medication and so on. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him shifa. Right? They get everything without tawakkul. Oh, this is another one that's a little interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this dunya in this way. Let me rephrase that question. Okay, Shaykh, you're over there and you're explaining about tawakkul. And we should have tawakkul. And we should rely on God. And God is the cure. God is the one who gives shifa. What about other people who don't? Either mu'mineen, but they don't really have this whole concept of tawakkul, or even someone who doesn't believe in God himself. They don't believe in God himself. And so many of these people, they do get shifa. The reality is, outside, we're seeing people are getting shifa. They're getting cured. So what's that? Brothers and sisters, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with us in the dunya is not that he makes this world such that only people who follow him, he gives the dunya. He doesn't do it like that. The way that God works, he wants to give the dunya to those he loves and those he hates. The dunya isn't worth much to God. He wants to give a test to us as mu'mineen. So we shouldn't have a superficial understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anytime any bala comes and I say, well, what happened? What did I do wrong? No, sometimes you can be like Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He didn't do anything wrong. He's ma'asum and have the greatest of bala. Sometimes, no. Somebody will be a kafir, be disrespecting Allah, and Allah will give them this world. We believe in ultimate justice. So just because somebody doesn't have tawakkul, doesn't mean that God will zap them, destroy them. No. Actually, we have a hadith that tells us that if God dealt with us in that way, it's from Amir al-Mu'mineen, he explains to us, he says, the greater the challenge, the greater the reward. He said, if it was the case that when the Anbiya would come, the Anbiya, whoever joined the Anbiya, for instance, said, we have a lot of riches, powerful armies, anybody who joined, your dunya is taken care of. He says, everybody would come in, but some people would come in out of fear. I can't resist the Anbiya. Some people out of hope, I want money. Whoever joins the Prophet, he gets a gold Mercedes Benz. Ya Rasulullah, amantu. Ready? No, that's not the way it is. Allah's going to test the mu'mini and see who accepts because it's the truth. Who accepts because it's the truth. That between me and Allah, is this haqq? That's what God wants to see. So the idea that if somebody's an atheist, no, actually not that way. And if God did do it that way, everybody would join the religion. So, just a little bit on that. So, there's another question that, what is a human being made of, I think is the question, and why? A question about creation. So, we believe that we were made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us came from Adam and Hawa. We were put here in this world to become servants of Allah. Abd. Ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can become true servants of God, submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that first level of ma'rifah, there's a second level of ma'rifah that comes through practicing the religion. And then after that, if we can get that second level of ma'rifah to get to witness God with the eyes of the heart, then there's a special type of mercy that God has given us. So some of the ulama have explained that God wanted to give us that special type of mercy. Why did God create us? What's our purpose? To become ibad, become servants, in this way to enjoy life in this world and the next, and then after that to become deserving of the company of God in the next world. Now this is a political question. Get the sheikh in trouble. Sheikh, first time visiting, or second time visiting the community, people ask dangerous questions. We always hear about children's responsibility to parents. What about the responsibility of parents towards the child?
Very important question.
And practically speaking, for all of us, because either we are parents now, or we will become parents later. We will become parents later, inshallah. A very important question for us. One of the things that we want to do is our purpose of life was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? We as parents have a circle of influence. We have amanat from Allah, trust from Allah, who are at our disposal, our children. For the father and the family, the father and the family is supposed to be the major decision maker. What are the responsibilities of the father? The father provides for food and clothing and these things. In addition to that, he wants to make sure, as a father, the direction of the family is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So as a father, I have a responsibility. And now, how to do that? Again, this is a question that needs, there's a course on parenting. A course on Islamic parenting. You can't go over all of those things, and I can even try. But the father wants to be that major decision maker and do that. What happens? What's the role of the mother? The mother has to follow with the father. She also has a role in training and parenting those children, but her role is not the same as the father. As the father doesn't want to micromanage. There's some fathers who, you know, want to micromanage. God forbid. We don't. When the father is leading the family, the way the hadith say is, whoever is the leader of a group of people, sayyidul qawm, whoever is the leader of a group of people, khadimul qawm. Whoever is the group leader of the group is a servant to that group. So the father's in charge, has a responsibility, he's supposed to bring everybody to paradise. He also sees himself as being a servant to that group. What's the role of the mother? Under the father, helping to manage and bring this family in that way. Responsibilities that we have towards our children, I covered some of them the other day. One of them is love. Right? And actually expressing to our children how much we love them. Showing our children, writing to our children, playing games with our children, talking to our children, building up our children, right? These are some of the responsibilities that we have as parents towards them. We want to imbibe the love of Allah and Ahlul Bayt in our children. We want to lead our children by example, right? So some of these are some of the responsibilities. In addition to those physical ones of providing food and clothing and shelter and these things, direction towards God, nurturing these individuals, treating them as amanat from Allah. It needs more time to do justice to such a question. It needs more time. Now, next one. You say that once a person has made a decision about taqleed in choosing a marja, is it possible to change to another marja? Actually, what I would like, brothers and sisters, to do is, let me answer part of this question. So one part of the question is, once I've come, I don't know how much time we have, 5 minutes? Okay. Once we've come to a conclusion about who's A'lam, we have to follow that person who's A'lam. Let's say we come to a conclusion that somebody else is A'lam, right? I was following, this is just a hypothetical question, I was following one marja, and at that time, when based on my research, they were A'lam. Now I found out that the other marja is A'lam. At that time, what is my responsibility? I have to follow takhassus and knowledge, and so I go to that person who's A'lam. That's one. There's another time when two marjas are actually the same, equal standing. Now, there's a concept which is known as tab'id and taqleed. Right? Tab'id and taqleed. And brothers and sisters, I want us to first look online to find out an understanding of this. And then after that, we can talk about that. So we're talking about the idea that two marjas are equal in taqleed. This is a lecture, brothers and sisters, and I'll see you tomorrow. We can use this as homework, how many people have looked at this lecture. Okay? There's a lecture online called Eating and Drinking in the West. Eating and Drinking in the West. And there's a Sheikh Hamza Sodagar, may Allah protect him. He's given a lecture on this, two lectures on the idea of eating and drinking in the West. So what happens? By going through this lecture, we find out religion is a lot easier than we expected. Before, we would have thought it was so difficult, right? Like he talks over there in the lecture, he says, okay, what if I go to a place and they're making pizza, right? And they make haram pizza and they also make halal pizza. And then he said, then the hands come over, maybe they touch that, and then they came over, right? He talks about these issues over there. One of the issues, so one of the, that lecture is beneficial for us to have. Over there, he also talks about the issue of tab'id, right? Where I come to the to a conclusion that both marjas are equal, and then what am I supposed to do in that situation, if I come to that situation through my research. Inshallah, we'll stop there, and inshallah, we'll continue on another time. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We'll finish our time.